Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Guitarist Brian Welch is not a man to do things by halves. Music critics will know him as the man who was nicknamed Head from the band Korn, which brought to the world sounds like this. Korn forged a new music genre that became known as new metal, and they rose to incredible fame and fortune. However, despite all that, despite Korn's huge success, in 2005, Brian shocked the world. On the eve of a major tour, he announced that he'd been hiding a crippling drug addiction for years, and that he'd now found faith in Jesus Christ, and was leaving the band for good. Well, now, Welch is back in the music scene, still with his trademark long spiralling hair, tattoos and black eyeliner, but this time with a very different mission indeed, and Brian Welch is with us. Brian, welcome to Open House, good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, thanks for having me.
Thanks for the time. It's a pretty interesting story that you've got, and I'm looking forward to exploring that over the next little while. I think you say on your website that you were 11 years old when you first picked up a guitar and you found your calling. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, I was just into music, you know, I was listening to 8-track tapes, and I was just really into music. I wanted to play the drums at first, but my dad talked me out of it because he didn't want me to bang in the house, I guess, and I started playing guitar.
What were you listening to back in those days? What bands were you listening to?
The band that got me started in wanting to play music was actually Queen and Billy Joel, believe it or not.
Very different to where you ended up.
That's like the tapes that my parents had that they were listening to, and I just started listening to music, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then once I started playing them, I was like, all the guitar-driven bands I loved, all metal, you know?
So draw the line from picking up the guitar at the age of 11 to then founding Korn.
I don't know. It just came naturally to me. I just started taking lessons and then teaching myself how to really play, and I had a good ear so I could learn the songs like of the band that I was listening to, and I was like, hey, this stuff isn't that hard. You know, I can mimic like Van Halen solos, kind of, you know, nothing like perfect, but you know what I mean. I could get people saying, whoa, that sounds pretty close. So it just came naturally. And then me and the guys in Korn, we went to school together, so we kind of knew each other, but we didn't hang out every day. And just when we were teenagers, we started getting into these little cheesy heavy metal bands and stuff. And a few of the guys moved to L.A. And long story short, we just all hooked back up later on, and that's when Korn was formed.
A lot of very dark songs about pain and rejection, anger, etc., etc. Was that a reflection of what was going on in your hearts, or is it just simply part of the culture of that music scene?
Well, everybody I hung out with went through that, you know. I mean, we're just, you're in the world, and pain and anger, that's a part of the party lifestyle, you know. And you know, you call it fun, but, you know, the only fun part is, like, forgetting about yourself so you can get wasted and laugh and stuff, you know.
Mm. And getting wasted, you certainly did. The drugs came onto the scene for you pretty quickly, I believe. Speed, or crystal meth, as it's otherwise known.
Yeah, we started messing around with that in the beginning a lot. Me and Jonathan and Monkey, and, you know, we tried to keep it under control, but you can't. That drug is, like, so powerful, it'll grab you.
Mm. Tell me how it grabbed you. What happened? What was the results of you getting involved in crystal meth?
Well, I started just... Alcohol starts everything for me. I was just drinking beer all the time, and then on the weekends, like when it's time to go home, it's like I'm kind of spinning, you know, my head's spinning, and I'm hanging out with maybe has some crystal or something, and I was like, I want to bump. It sobers you up, it makes you, like, you know, alert or whatever. So I would do that, and then pretty soon it turned into, like, you know, if I'm doing one bump here, it turned into like two nights in a row, and then every weekend I started using it, and it just grew on me, and It started to rip my life apart.
Mm. How bad did things get? I mean, in what way was it starting to rip your life apart?
I just remember I couldn't really function at work because I would do it during the weekends, and then during the week I'd just want to sleep, and little things would set me off during the week, like anger, like massive anger fits. Like I'd deliver pizza, you know?
Yeah.
And so we would have to find the addresses, and I would just, like, go into rages if I couldn't find the house, and, like, I remember one time I was such an idiot, like, I start punching my steering wheel, and the horn got stuck on.
Mm.
And it's like, so I'm driving around, and everyone's staring at me, and I'm like, well, I'm such an idiot. But just, you know, sleeping all the time, and all you crave is, like, sugar and girlfriends. You ended up fighting, and physical abuse enters the relationship, and just stuff like that.
Mm. Brian Welch is with us, the founder of the band Korn, and now has got a very interesting story to tell about coming to faith. Brian, the drugs got so bad, you wanted to quit in the end, didn't you? You really wanted to quit, but you couldn't.
Yeah, I used off and on, you know. I used the drugs off and on for, like, till to the end of Korn, till 2004, so probably, like, 10 years. I used, you know, I drank the whole time, but then I'd stop using drugs for, like, months, you know, and I'd be like, ah, see, I could quit anytime. And then, like, 5 months later, I'd do it again and think I had it under control, but it towards the end, it just started getting really bad. You know, I got divorced. I was sick of touring, and I had all this money and this fame and stuff, and I was like, it just wasn't satisfying me, you know? It was like my dream came true, and I'm touring the world and everything, but, you know, when you're on tour, you miss your home, and when you're at home, you miss touring, and it's like you're never happy. And it's like when you could buy anything you want, any car, any house or whatever, you think that it would fulfill you, but it just didn't fulfill me or my friends, you know. It was definitely cool, but it just wasn't what life was all about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that confused me a lot, because when I was growing up, I was like, okay, when you get rich and famous, then you're there. Then you've made it. Life's perfect, but it's really not.
Yeah. It got so bad for you that in the end, that emptiness was driving you to think suicidal thoughts.
Yeah, just because I couldn't quit the drugs, I was like, what's the point, you know? I got all my money, and I'm just going to raise my kid, and she's going to grow up, and she's going to find out life is miserable too, you know? You're rich, you're miserable, you're poor, you're miserable. I didn't understand life, you know, and I was just like, what am I here for? And I didn't really care if I overdosed or I cared, but because I didn't want to leave my kid, you know, but at the same time, I was like, what's the point, you know? Life has no meaning.
Yeah, I guess it must have been a pretty interesting world that you were introducing your daughter, Janaea, to.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy. She saw a lot, you know. She's been through a lot, and, you know, not a lot that a little kid shouldn't, and she's seen a lot, so.
Yeah.
But God's working on her, you know, it's all good. He'll turn everything around.
Yeah, well, that's the turning point, isn't it? Right about 2004, a whole bunch of Christians start crossing your path and start telling you about Jesus. Now, how did you respond to them at the first instance?
At first, it's crazy, because I was drawn to them. These guys weren't like the, you know, conservative Christians that, like, dress, like, in polyester suits and stuff like that. They weren't, because that's what I thought about when I was a kid. Like, you know, you think about the goody-goodies. So, but these guys were like, you know, this one Christian guy was like, he builds monster trucks, you know. He's a radical guy, but he's a Christian. And so I was drawn to these guys, wanting to hang out with them. And another guy was a real estate broker, and I started doing business deals with these guys. And I was hooked on speed and stuff, but I was doing these deals, you know, wanting to make more money. And they really didn't start talking to me. I just, something about them, you know, they had peace in their lives and they're happy. And I started reaching out to them, basically. I was like, you guys seem like you're doing really good with your family and stuff. And I kept calling the broker for advice. I was like, I'm sick of touring, you know. And one day he just reached out to me, and he said, you know, I was up all night, you know, doing drugs and stuff. And he sent me an email one night, and he said, Brian, I don't mean to get weird with you, but I was looking at my Bible this morning, and this verse seemed like it jumped out at me. And I just had a feeling inside that I was supposed to share it with you. I hope you don't think it's weird or nothing, but it's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary, carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest for your souls.
Yeah.
And it's Jesus saying that. And it was like, he felt like the Lord was wanting him to share that verse with me. And, you know, at first I was like, oh no, here they go. Here's the Christians, you know, they're going to start, you know, coming after me now. But I wanted it. So it was like a full-on double-minded war going on right then it started. I was like, you know, here comes this guy who's going to start bugging me now. But I need this. But he's going to bug you. But I need this. You know, it was just crazy. I was going insane.
This is Open House right across the nation. Brian Head Welsh is with us from originally from the band Korn. Now, of course, continuing his music work, but with a very different heart as a result. We're talking about his coming to faith in Christ and the new life that has happened as a result. Theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. So, of course, you've got this conflict going through in your mind, Brian, because you've got a lot to lose if you actually come to faith. I mean, you're a very public person. You've helped to found a music genre, new metal. You're very well known for angry, kind of dark, kind of raging kind of lyrics. You've got a lot to walk away from.
I didn't care anymore, you know? I was miserable. $500,000 tour bus I lived in. I was touring the world, and I was a drug addict. I was having my drug dealers send me drugs over to other countries, you know, hoping I didn't get busted. I was insane, and I needed to stop, or I was going to die, and I didn't care anymore. And I did. I went to a church, and the pastor just talked about, you know, just Jesus being real, and if you talk to him, you know, if you just pray to him and talk to him like a friend, and the things that you want in your life to fall away from you, they'll start falling away just by praying and really spending time with God. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that, and I went home right away, and I remember I snorted a line right then, and I said, Lord, take these drugs from me or I'm going to die, you know, and I was just sincere, and I kept it up, and within a few weeks, I had this encounter. I just felt like God just basically in an invisible form, like, came into my room and just poured out total peace and love, and I just felt like my spiritual eyes were open, and, you know, I ended up throwing away all my drugs and starting life over, and it was a challenge right then because I didn't know what to do. I was like, what do I do now? Do I stay in the band? And I started talking to the band, you know, I was like, I don't want to tour anymore, and they were telling me, well, you don't have to tour anymore, just stay in the band and we'll write records together. And then, you know, I felt like the Lord led me to leave the band and just start a new life and walk away from the money and everything. And He wanted me to do something new for him. And I did it. And there was a price to pay, but that life isn't like I thought it was. So it wasn't that hard to leave, except there was like a $25 million advance that Korn was going to get in the next few months. And I was like, I wanted some of that, you know, but it was like money couldn't be my God anymore. And I had to, it was like a test I had to pass, kind of like, you know, I'm going to walk away from that and follow you now, God.
Yeah.
I did it. And I've never been happier, you know?
Yeah. Now, tell me a little bit more about that experience in your room. You say you met God in a very, almost in a visual way.
Man, it was just so like, I was thumbing through my Bible going, okay, is this real? Am I an idiot? Are these Christians insane? How can they, like, put their hands in the air and sing to something that's not there? And I was, like, going, I don't know if this is real. And all of a sudden, I felt, like, a peaceful presence come into the room, you know. If people talk about the presence of God, that means God is there. Mm. He shows up, like, where you are to speak to you in a spiritual way. He, like, communicates to your heart and stuff. And I felt so much peace. And I'm telling you, it was, like, a pure high that I've never felt before, playing in front of millions of people, doing drugs, whatever. It just took me somewhere that I've always wanted to be, and it filled me with contentment. And it was like my heart got changed just like that.
Now tell me about the addictions. You're kind of alluding to the fact that as a result of this encounter with God that you have, that you were given an extra power to be able to confront those demons of drugs.
You know, my eyes were open. I was like, okay, God is real. And I knew it was supernatural. And I was like, I'm going to stop. I'm going to change my life for him. And part of it, a lot of it was his supernatural power that he put in me. But and then a big part of it was like, he's like, now you're going to fight to get off the drugs. And you're going to treat those drugs like there's someone trying to kill you, you know? You got to run from them. You got to fight them. You got to get them away. And so that's when I started the fight. And I was like, I finally told an old friend of mine to come over, and I showed him, like, piles of methamphetamines that I had, and he almost started throwing up. It was like there's so much of it, and he started throwing it away. So that's the first step I took. I started throwing away my drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, slowly but surely, I quit, and then I found some more in my closet a week later, but I did it again. And after one stumble, I was able to quit for good.
Wow.
And I even found some more a couple months later in my closet, and instead of doing it, I walked out of the room and just quoted a scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
And I ended up taking pictures of me throwing it away, and yeah, my whole life changed.
Yeah. And then there was that moment where, and obviously it's somewhere around about this time, where you gave that very public testimony in a church one Sunday morning. It was recorded by TV crews all around the world, where you basically wanted to tell the world about the addiction and about that faith that you'd just discovered.
Yeah, that was crazy. All I wanted to do was, like, get some drug addicts to come to the church. So I went to this rock radio station in Bakersfield. And when I went there, like, they aired it. And the next morning, like, people are calling me saying MTV and CNN and everyone's calling and they want to come to town and interview you. And I was like, what the heck? I didn't know. I didn't try to do that, you know. It just kind of happened. And I went, yeah, and I told my story. And it was kind of crazy because my parents were in the front row, you know, and I was sitting there going to tell my mom I've been a junkie, you know.
Wow.
So it was like, it's kind of hard, but I felt like I had to do it because I was going to help a lot of people if I did. And it was kind of embarrassing because I was the hide it type of guy, you know. I was like, hide everything, you know, act like everything's cool in front of people. But I felt like God gave me the courage and the boldness and the strength to do it.
Mm. This is Open House right across the nation, theopenhouse.net.au, for the podcast of our chat with Brian Welsh, founder of the band Korn, and we're hearing about his amazing story of discovering faith in Jesus and the release from drugs, etc., that he's actually had as a result of that. Now, you're still recording music. Certainly not music for the faint-hearted, but then, as you've said yourself, you're not called to be a Sunday school teacher, are you?
No, I don't think so. You know, I got saved and I went to the tattoo shop and started, like, putting scripture tattoos on me and stuff. It's just who I am, and I play heavy music, and but, you know, the message is there. You know, a lot of the stuff I went through, the drug addiction and stuff I sing about, and the spiritual awakening and all that, and that's the type of music I play, you know, and I don't think we all need to be the same. I think, you know, the Lord's got everybody placed in different places.
Well, I mean, the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, whatever situation in life that God finds you, well, you stay in that situation. You've actually got a place there. You can actually reach a whole bunch of people there that other people can't reach. You can reach an audience that I certainly can't reach.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I can. It's cool because God has sent me all kinds of places. I can blend in anywhere. I know I look freaky, but I've been to, like, conservative churches, you know, and just talk shows, and it's cool to see, like, God put a real conservative person together with someone that looks like me. And it's the same God and changing, you know, hearts in the same way. It's
nice,
really cool.
Nicely put. If you were to bring it down into some sort of message, some sort of core message that you are telling, either through your books, Save Me From Myself and Washed by the Blood, which basically tell you your transformation story, or whether it be through the album, whether it be through the music, what is that message now?
Just that basically God is real, and it's not about religion, and it's a real thing, you know, and that changes everything. If you just want to, you know, just try it out and try him and experience God, I mean, everything changes then, because your whole outlook on life is like, you see life through different eyes, you know, and that's my main thing, how real God is.
Yeah. Tell me, what are you living for these days? You had the fame, you had the fortune, you had the glamour, you've let go of that. What are you living for? What are your big goals then for the next few years from this point on?
Just don't take one day at a time, you know. Life hasn't been easier since I became a Christian and left all the, quote, good life, you know. I don't got as much money. I don't got things the way, but I'm way more content with life. Mm-hmm. And I love my life, even in the struggles, better than I love my life with all the money I had and having the easy life now. I love my life better now. And it's just, that's the supernatural thing that an invisible God does inside of a man or woman. You know, he changes the inside and makes you content with life.
Yes.
And it really doesn't matter. I want to know Christ. I want to know him in his resurrection, and I want to know him in his sufferings, and I want to go where he leads me to go and take one day at a time, and you know, hopefully get out on the road and do some music and see what he wants to do out there.
And what is the one big lesson, or maybe a couple of big lessons you've learned about Jesus and about God through all of this story that you've had?
There's been a lot of lessons, but, you know, trust is like a big word, just that he takes you through difficult things in order to teach you about trust. No matter what happens in your life, if you just let go and trust in God, and everything is always okay. I got that like last year. It's like, no matter what things look like, everything is always okay. He shows you through all these difficulties that everything is always okay and everything works out. So when you face the real things like death in the family or a friend or something like that, that works out too. We may not see it on this side, but everything is always okay.
Mm. God works all things for the good of those who love him.
Yeah, and I love him.
Yeah. Hey, Brian Welsh, very good to talk to you. Thanks so much for your time, and thanks so much for the inspiration.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was awesome to talk to you.
So guitarist Brian Welch, founder of that well-known band Korn, now walking a very different road, though. What an amazing story, hey? What an amazing story. Released from drugs, now to a life of meaning and contentment and fulfillment when he had the $25 million deals with the record companies. If you want to listen to it again, theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast. His story is told in two books. One is called Save Me From Myself, pretty graphic with all the details of his life. The other one's kind of written for younger audiences, Washed by Blood, both through Harper One Publishers.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.